Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Pure imagination. This is the continuation of our series on the 12 powers. We have so far looked at the power of faith, strength, love, wisdom, power, and now imagination. What is imagination? Nobody knows. What would you imagine it would be? Power to create. It is part of that process, yes, a very important part. It is the power to receive divine ideas and create an image of them. And that is the blueprint upon which we build. Charles Fillmore said it is the ability to conceive, to draw together, to inspire the mind with a sense of newness. We don't want to just recreate what already is. We want to imagine, we want to create a vision or grasp hold of division, because everything is held in divine mind already. Everything exists in divine mind already. So we want to tap into that and get a hold of that image of the world as God sees it. The world as divine mind imagines it. And then we can bring it forth into expression. So it is the ability to conceive, to draw together, to inspire the mind with a sense of newness. It is the mind's exercise in foreseeing results in manifest form. In The Power of the Soul, Ella Pomeroy wrote, "It is the power to believe, to love, to create. It is the power to be magical." Do you know the word magic comes from imagination? That is the process of using it, of bringing it into expression. So what are we imagining? That's an important question, because what we imagine is what we are going to create. When you look around at the world around you, and you see all of these messages and all of this input from the world around you, what image are you creating of what is and what can be? Most people are living in what we call third dimension reality, and they're creating an image in their mind of a world in turmoil, a world of chaos, a world of not enough, a world of trying to acquire, a world of fear. But when we tune into divine mind, when we open ourselves up to the world of possibility, we create images of abundance, images of peace, images of love, images of possibility. That's important. Images of possibility. What do we perceive? The worst or the best? Do we perceive that people around us are for us or against us? You know, those are the two big polarities in the world that we see. There are many, many people who look at the world and they see a world of threats, a world where it's competition and people are against us. Or there are those who look around the world and see a world where everyone is for everyone else, where all is possible, where there's more than enough, where there really is nothing to fear. I love Winston Churchill's statement, the only thing we have to fear is what? Fear itself. Yes. So what do we perceive? What do we make the experiences in our lives mean? Because that is going to impact what we're able to conceive. What we conceive, what we imagine, is definitely going to achieve something, to create something. Everything you think creates something. So the important part of this power is be mindful of what we're thinking. Be mindful of what images we are holding in our minds, because that something in our mind is a reflection. It is a reflection of our own true beliefs, our own true nature, or not. We get to choose. Our true nature is the Christ nature, the higher self, the nature of what Jesus said when he said, "Do you not know that you are perfect? Be ye therefore perfect." That was not a commandment of like some parent going, "Be perfect or else," which is the way it's normally interpreted. That was Jesus' way of saying, "You are created perfect. Be it. Step into your truth. Step into what you really are." I cheered for the Isotopes a lot last night, so my voice is a little hoarse. It did not do any good, by the way. But what do we perceive? Gary Simmons, in his book, The Eye of the Storm, says that, what if it's true that no one and no thing is against us? What if it's true that everything in the universe supports us and our growth and our highest expression? What if that were true? Well, the fact is, that is true. The universe supports us and our growth and our highest expression. But we don't always allow that support to be active in our lives. But how free would we be if we really believed that was the truth, if we really understood that was the absolute truth? The power of imagination is represented by the disciple Nathaniel Bartholomew. Bartholomew was one of the first of the six disciples chosen by Jesus. And he recognized him as a man of vision and imagination. He saw that this person sitting there was a person of vision, a visionary. And Nathaniel Bartholomew recognized something in the Christ. He recognized that Jesus was also a person of imagination. That this soul that embodied as Jesus, that it was expressing the Christ power, could imagine us the way we were created to be, could imagine the world the way it was created to be. Bartholomew was the first one to recognize that Jesus didn't think like everybody else. Visionaries don't think like everybody else. Everybody else thinks based on what they see in the world around them, based on the negative messages. The messages that say, you're not enough, you can't do this, the world is against you, everything is against you, just try to get through it the best you can, and maybe you'll go to heaven when you're dead. Or not. Most likely not. But Jesus was different. Like all visionaries are different. Visionaries say, we are in the kingdom of heaven. It's right here, right now. Look around you. What do you see? Do you focus on the low vibration, the low frequency energy, or do you focus on what we call fourth dimensional energy, even fifth dimensional energy, the energy of what really is? You know, the color for imagination is light blue. And interestingly enough, the psychologist, Dr. Robert Knapp, he came up with 12 different colors for the 12 powers. And the one he came up for imagination was crystal clarity, crystal clear. I like that. Think about it. We need to be clear in order for our imagination to work the way it should. We need to be clear of misperceptions, judgments, opinions, and instead be clearly open to all possibilities. We need to be clear about who we are and what's important to us. And we need to have a clear vision. Not a clear vision of what, oh, I hope someday will be, but a clear vision of what is and what is going to manifest through us and what we are going to experience. And our vision may change. It may change depending on circumstances and opportunities presented. But it's important to have a vision of what you want to achieve, of who you really are, and of what actions you're willing to take to fulfill that vision. That's the important part. That's the way we create an image in our imagination of what is already in existence in divine mind and what we can create in our world, in our experience. We need to be specific, but we also need to be flexible. And no, those are not mutually exclusive. Our visualizations, our imaginations have to have specificity. You don't have to know how to say the words. Specificity and flexibility. We have to be specific in what we want to have happen. We want to get into that vibration. We want to feel it. We want to be it. But then we have to be flexible to let something even better come out. You heard me say in the meditation, you heard me quote Richard Bach in the book Illusions. When the master, who is the great teacher in that book, says to his student, imagine the world is pure and perfect and whole and good, and then know one thing. He says, the is, that was his name for God, the is has imagined it quite a bit better than you have. So we have to be flexible to let that even better come through. We have to be specific and then let go and let God. Be specific and say in our prayers, this and something better. Why say or? How about and? I can create in my mind, in my imagination, wondrous things. And I know that there's even more wondrous things that I can't imagine yet. So I am flexible to those more wondrous things. And at the same time, we need to pay attention to the energy around our vision, our imaginings, because the universe responds to energy. There's a core teaching in physics, in quantum physics, in metaphysics, and yes, in unity. And it was a core teaching of Jesus. Everything is energy. And everything responds to energy. For instance, if I were to say, I believe that God is only good and everywhere present. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to say, isn't it? But then I complain when something doesn't go the way I think it should. Well, that complaining demonstrates what I really truly believe. That's the energy I'm really holding. It's the law of mind action. It works. One way or another, high vibration or low vibration, the law of mind action works. Thoughts and feelings held in mind do produce after their kind. You notice it doesn't say, what we say we believe produces after its kind. It's what we believe produces after its kind. What we believe about our lives and how we respond to what happens in our lives are the best demonstration of what we truly believe. Which brings us to our movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original one with Gene Wilder. Willy Wonka, for those of you who may not know, was this character that had created the most wondrous chocolate candy in the world. Different varieties, had a big factory. And yet, nobody ever saw him. He was kind of reclusive. And there's a story in a part of the movie that explains why. But at the beginning of the movie, the kids all come running out of their school. And then first place they go is the candy store. And they're all wanting to get some of the Willy Wonka's chocolate candy. And they ask the shop owner of the store how Willy Wonka comes up with all these incredible creations. And he explains that it's just because that's what Willy does. It's who he is. It's his passion. It's his vision. To make the world a better, sweeter place through the love he puts into his candy. If you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. Willy Wonka knew this to be true. And so did the main character of the story, Charlie Bucket, the kid who has a dream. Now, he doesn't live in a he doesn't live a life right at the moment that really you would think would give him any hope for the future. His family is poor. They don't have much. His father has passed away. His mother is trying to take care of not only him, but his four grandparents, who have not been out of bed in 20 years because the world is a cold, dangerous place. There is no hope. But Willy Wonka announces that he's having a contest. And in this candy bar that he is releasing to the world, there are five of them that have a golden ticket inside the wrapper. And the five people who find those golden tickets will be invited into the factory to be given a tour by Willy Wonka himself and then given a lifetime supply of chocolate. It's a dream come true. And Charlie Bucket, that's the kid, Charlie Bucket, and I like that they chose the name Bucket because it's a receptacle, ready to receive the best the universe has to offer, even when it doesn't look like it's around him. He's open and receptive. Well, Charlie has this vision, this idea that life can be better, that they can be prosperous, that they can have a life of energy and vim and vitality. Even when his mother tries to spare him the disappointment by telling him, you know, we don't have enough money to buy a lot of candy bars. There's five in the whole world. You're not going to find this golden ticket. But Charlie Bucket understood the words to the song that Diana sang. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want, you can do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it. Now, he was young. He didn't have the full vision yet. But Willy Wonka had it. He had done it. And Willy Wonka sings the song in the movie, and he says, there is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free. If you truly wish to be. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Kind of sounds like what Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among us. We're in it. Simply look around. If you want to see it, you will see it. You know, who knew that Willy Wonka was a spiritual master? I didn't know it the first time I saw this movie 30 years or 40 years ago, 71. Oh my God. Many years ago. But it's true. Willie was teaching the children and their parents what the masters have taught us through the ages. Paradise is all around us. Heaven and hell aren't out there somewhere. They're right here. They are the fruits of our own imagination, our own creation. And we can be in either one, right here, right now, based on whatever we believe to be true. There's another interesting line in that song. We'll be free if we truly wish to be. We'll be free if we truly wish to be. That's an interesting caveat. How many of us really want to be free? Oh, we say we do. But there's a challenge there. The challenge is recognizing that with freedom comes accountability. Do we really want to be free to create our own paradise? Oh, I can't create my own paradise. I'm just little old me. I can't do that. You know, it's kind of like in Harry Potter last week. I'm just Harry. I'm not a wizard. I can't create paradise. You don't have to create it. You're in it. You just have to open your eyes and see it. Jesus came to teach us that the kingdom of God is right here, right now, not out there somewhere, just as Willie was teaching the children. Look around you. Paradise is all around us if we simply clean off our lenses, clear our vision, like we sang, I can see clearly now. Become willing to see possibilities. Heaven and hell is not out there, it's right here. It is our own creation, based on our own powers of imagination and what we believe to be true. And it's interesting. I can be living in paradise And the person right next to me can be living in hell because of what we choose to see. We'll be free if we truly wish to be. Now, if you remember what I just said, or if you've seen the movie, Charlie Bucket's four grandparents had spent the last 20 years in bed, believing that the world was a scary place and the floor was cold. Until Willie got the ticket. He found the candy bar with the ticket at a moment when all hope was lost. Because according to the news media, all five tickets had been found. It turns out the fifth one was a fake. Somebody tried to cheat. And Charlie still had the faith to try one more time. One more time. And he brings this ticket home and shows it to his grandparents. And the grandpa jumps up and says, "I never thought my life could be anything but catastrophic. And suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me because I've got a golden ticket." It was Charlie that had it. But the grandfather had it. And he says, "I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. I never had the chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine." Well, good, at least he's willing to share it with Charlie. "I've got a golden sun up in the sky." What happened? What happened is Charlie's vision, Charlie's energy, Charlie's willingness to hold an image of something better was infectious. And Grandpa caught sight of the vision. And all of a sudden, he could conceive and believe in a new world. And then he and Charlie went out and achieved it. The song says, "Anything you want to do you want it enough to change the world?" There's nothing to it. What do you want to do that you haven't been doing? Are you willing to get out of the bed you've been in for the last 20 years? Because in one way or another, all of us have been in some sort of metaphysical bed, not doing the things we truly want to do. Because it's cold, it's scary. I don't have what it takes. Are we willing to get out of bed, metaphorically speaking? Are we willing to change our perceptions, to change how we've been seeing anything so that we can conceive, believe, and achieve a changed world for ourselves? And as we change our world, we automatically help change the world around us. Some people say, "Well, I want to change the world." Don't. Change yourself, and the world will change with you. The only person we can truly work on is ourselves. The only person we can truly change is ourselves. I think of Walt Disney, one of the best examples of the power of imagination. And he said this, "Somehow I can't believe there are any heights that can't be scaled by someone who knows the secret of making dreams come true." And that special secret, he said, can be summarized in the four C's. They are curiosity, confidence, courage, and constancy. Curiosity. What is possible? What more can I do? What more can I achieve? What more can I imagine? Confidence. If I can imagine it, I can do it. Courage. When the world says you can't do it, you do it anyway. When Walt Disney had the idea for Disneyland in California, people laughed at him. They said it was impossible. And he laughed back and said, "Watch, watch." And constancy, being consistent, holding to the vision, living as if it is true because it actually is true. Are we willing to become curious about what we perceive and how we perceive the world, our relationships, our dreams, what we always thought to be true? Are we willing to ask, "Is this really true? Is this really all I can be?" Are we willing to have the courage, the confidence, and the constancy to grasp that vision and bring it forth into manifestation in our lives and in the world? Back to the movie. There's a scene where Willy Wonka is taking the kids and their parents. They each had to have one adult with them. They were kids. And he's taking them into the room where the chocolate is made. It's a magical room. It's huge. There's a river of chocolate and a waterfall of chocolate coming down. And he says, that's the secret to my chocolate, is that waterfall, is that it frosts it, it gets air in it. And as he's taking that into that room, he says, in this room, all of my dreams become realities and some of my realities become dreams. In other words, what he imagines becomes real. There's an interesting thing about imagination. Reverend Stretton Smith, who created the 4T Prosperity Program, actually defines two different kinds of imagination. The first is what we call conditioned imagination. This is when we create an image from what we already know. In other words, we try to redo something we've already done. What we're doing is trying to create from our memories. That's different from what we call willful imagination. Willful imagination is something entirely new that we create with our minds. It's something never seen before, never imagined before. And if you've seen this movie, you can pretty much bet that Willy Wonka created from willful imagination, because there was nothing normal or usual or tried or true in his chocolate factory. You met Reverend Gio at the beginning of service. What we are doing right here at Unity Spiritual Center, having an associate minister of adult education virtually that is going to coordinate and create and empower the continuation of the great educational movement inaugurated by Jesus, which is what the definition of unity is, that has never been done in our 130-some-odd-year history of any Unity Center anywhere. Creating from willful imagination. Here's an interesting thing to remember, though. Worry is also part of our imagination. But when we worry, what are we doing? We're imagining the worst. That's what his grandparents had been doing. That's why they wouldn't get out of bed. They were always imagining the worst that was out there. It's a misuse of imagination. We're imagining the worst that could possibly happen rather than the absolute, unbelievable, unlimited best that can happen. And this has an effect on our energy. And everything is energy. It affects how we show up in the world. And it definitely has an effect on what we create. So whether we are creating from worry or from a dream, it's our choice. It's our choice. I'm going to skip that part because we are running out of time. That's a different movie I was going to segue into for a minute, but we won't. Nothing is written unless we write it. Nothing is written unless we write it here. I have an image of Unity Spiritual Center, Albuquerque, being Unity Spiritual Centers of the Southwest, of reaching people in ways Unity has never reached before. Look around us in this room. We're about 75 people. It's summer. A lot of people aren't here right now. Some people are watching this online. But how many more can we reach? How many more can we put these Unity principles and tools in their hands and make it available to them if we think from willful imagination? That's what we're doing, is saying, how can we reach people that has never been done before? What can we do that has never been done before? And if that image can be held in our minds and we put our energy into it, guess what? It manifests. This, having Geo as part of our community, started a year ago. Some of you may remember our annual meeting in 2023. Actually, it started even before that. And yes, sometimes it takes a while to unfold. And sometimes we don't even know how it's going to unfold. But it does. And it does in ways we can never imagine. You know, nothing about Charlie's circumstances would have predicted him being the one out of the five kids that is the last person left touring the factory with Willy Wonka. And what Charlie didn't know, and this is the magic that happens, he didn't know what the real prize was. What he had been told the prize was an unlimited lifetime supply of chocolate. Every kid's dream. But at the end, Willie says, I'm giving you the factory. So now, let's watch the clip. So if you haven't figured it out, Charlie represents our own inner child. Jesus said, you must become like a little child to inherit the kingdom of heaven. We must tap into that. An adult can't do it because we have our preconceived ideas. I've got 66 years of preconceived ideas. But I have my inner child, that inner infinite beingness that is open to all possibility, that is willing to let go of preconceived ideas, to not even be aware of preconceived ideas, to hold a vision of infinite possibility, just like Charlie Bucket. He had no idea he was going to inherit a whole chocolate factory. And did you notice also that he said, it's beautiful from up here. Beginning of the movie, they're living in squalor and, filth, and it was not a good life. But as they raised their consciousness, as they broke through the barrier of what they could imagine in the Wonkavator, they were able to see a world quite a bit different. William Blake wrote, what is now proved was once only imagined. We can look out there and see what has been proved. But what are we going to imagine? Because that will be proved in the days and years and decades and centuries to come. What can we imagine? We can look around this room and see what has been proved so far. And we can imagine something that will be proved in the years ahead, in the year ahead. At one point, Willy Wonka says, we are the music makers and the dreamers of dreams. And we get to choose what we're dreaming. We get to choose what we are creating. So what are we dreaming now? What are we dreaming right now? What are you dreaming right now? Are you willing to perceive, conceive, and believe and achieve a world centered in love? Are you willing to start right here, right now with each other? Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because that's what the world needs right now, is people who are alive. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.